Today on Real Radio.
There should never be racial divisions in church. It's an anathema to God. In my opinion, it's satanic racism. It's a wedge. If I haven't upset you yet, how about this one? Jesus Christ is Jewish. How does that sit with you? Are you a white supremacist or a polka dot supremacist or a black supremacist? Chew on that.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher picks up with the second half of his very first study in the book of Revelation. This very last book of Scripture is an unusual part of God's Word. It is written in a way completely different than any other part of the Bible. And yet we ought not to avoid it. After all, it is Revelation. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs in a study called The Book Among Books.
Okay, if Jesus is coming back, and he will, Bible's never been wrong, why is he coming back? You need to know this. Why would Jesus come back? Number one reason, and these are just a few, are political reasons. Truly. Say, Pastor, I don't want to talk about politics. Too bad. Too late. God is into politics. The Bible teaches us that God establishes the boundaries of nations and of powers. Did you know that? The Bible says that God creates nations and he tears nations down. The Bible says he installs kings and removes kings. That's what happened in the last presidential election. By the way, it happens in every election. Did you know that? God's in every election. God watches the nation. He gives them leaders based upon what's needed. That's throughout the Old Testament. Well, as you're saying, God's a Republican. No way. God is a monarchist, and he's going to establish his kingdom, and President George Bush just happens to be one of the pawns that he's using to establish his kingdom. Are you saying America's God's kingdom? No way. What I'm saying is God is moving the nations to a point in time when Christ will return. There is no Messiah on earth right now. There's nobody sitting in some office of human government that is going to solve the world's ills. Don't look to a man or a woman to do that. Should we vote? Yes. God somehow uses our interaction with our society and brings about change. That's like saying, you know, can I eat? Of course you can eat, but if you sit there with your hands folded, you'll starve to death. You got to get up and go to the fridge, man, or In-N-Out. After service. And eat, you gotta do it. God is in control, no doubt about it. But regarding politics, listen to this. Jesus said, in fact, you might wanna hold your finger here in Revelation chapter 1 and turn. We'll quote it often this morning, Matthew chapter 24. There, Jesus said in Matthew 24, verse 3, that as he sat on the Mount of Olives, his disciples came to him privately and they asked him, saying, tell us, when will these things be? End time events. When will these things be? What will be the sign of your coming? They understood he was coming back before he ever left. And the end of the age, or the world as we know it in human government. And Jesus answered and said to them, be careful that nobody deceives you. Many people will come in my name saying they are the Christ and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you're not troubled, for these things must come to pass, for the end is not yet. Verse 7, Matthew 24. For nation will rise against nation, and here it is. Politic against politic. Kingdom against kingdom. Governmental powers against governmental powers. God presides over the nations. And the Bible tells us that right before Christ returns, there will be an alignment of nations that God has allowed to come together. From the book of Daniel, we know. From the book of Revelation, From the book of Zechariah, we know that there's going to be a unified Europe. What do we have today since 1991? A unified Europe. We've now seen them move to their single economy or a single currency. We see them taking down the walls. You've got the United States of Europe. That's how in Europe they so affectionately call themselves the USE. I don't know if you're aware of that. The United States of Europe. They're trying to mimic, frankly, what God has done here in this country. The Bible tells us that there from that unification of Europe, that there will be a great political leader that will arise. You know him as the Antichrist. If you don't know his name that way, you've all driven around town here in California and seen a sticker, a bumper sticker at least, where it says 666 with a line through it. You ever see that? That's the mark of the beast or the address of the coming Antichrist. The word Antichrist doesn't mean that he's coming with horns on his head and he keeps trying to put a hat on so you don't see it. It doesn't wear that he keeps, you know, he wears a red suit. His tail keeps sticking out. Oh, man. He'll be talking, his tail sticks out again. Oh, man. That's not what that means. He will come like a human, like a man, in the place of Christ, meaning to solve the world's ills, to solve the world's problems. And the Bible says he will arise out of Europe. He'll be an imposter Christ. The Bible tells us that he will reign over the ancient or old Roman Empire. And here we see Europe unifying. God is governing over the political powers. Again, for whatever reasons, God does these things and ultimately to his glory. But what an amazing thing to think about right now. And we, you know, people, we don't take it to our hearts as we should. Right now, for example, let me name a few political powers that must be in existence in the last days. Libya. The Old Testament mentions a nation in North Africa called Libya. Is there a Libya on the globe today? There is. What about Ethiopia? Yes. What about Saudi Arabia? Yes. What about Iran and Iraq? Yes. Here's the best one of all. What about Israel? Israel. Hey man, if there's any skeptics in the house, wake up. Check this out. Go home and lose sleep over this one. One of, if not the oldest nation, is God's establishment of Israel. But under its captivity, it dissolved as a nation. And then after 2,000 years, on May 14th, 1948, in one day, the world, under the leadership of the United States of America, by the way, acknowledged the existence of Israel and declared it to be a nation in one day. Guess what? The Bible says that in the last days before the end, Israel will be reestablished as a nation. In how many days? It said in one day. And so when you put together Zechariah, when you put Jeremiah together, and when you put the Old Testament passages together, there God says in the Bible, I will bring my nation together. Ezekiel says, as it were, the graves will open up and they will come from all the nations of the world to Israel and they will be reestablished. And the Bible says it will happen in one day. May 14th, 1948, the first time, are you listening? The first time in human history a nation was born a second time. Its name is Israel. God's country. What do you think it's in the news all the time for? It's God's country. It's his place. He loves it. It's pretty rocky. Not much water there, but he loves it. Kind of gives me an idea, I think, that when he takes care of the environment, he's going to change things around pretty cool like, you know. Nations. We know from the indication of political events in the world that the Lord's coming is near. And if his second coming is near, how much closer is the rapture of the church at any time? Another thing is societal events. Societal events globally. What do I mean by that? The social ills and trends of societies throughout the world. You want to know what they have in common? I'll give you a few things, only a few. There are many, but check this out. Number one, general lawlessness is invading nations. Did you know that? General lawlessness. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 24, because the love of many will grow cold. People not loving one another. People not caring. Because the love of many will grow cold, lawlessness will abound. In other words, the crime rates are going to rise as we get near the end because people won't care about other people. That woman up in Seattle in the rain, swerved in the rain, her car seen by other motorists, went over the side of the freeway into trees. She was found nearly a week later, surviving, still trapped in her car. Nobody stopped to see if she was okay. Nobody backed up or nobody called 911 to say, hey, a car just went over the side. I bet you this is what people were thinking, giving them the benefit of the doubt. Somebody else will call 911. I'm going to save the nickel. She was there on the side of the road. The woman that you saw in Texas on the news who hit that man walking across the street with her car, impaled him in the windshield of her car. He only had two broken legs. She drove home, opened her electric garage door with the button, drove in, pressed the button. The man was in the windshield of her car with two broken legs, and they had a conversation with each other. She left him there for 3 or 4 days. And he was not discovered until she bragged about what happened at a party when she was drunk. He died. She was arrested and convicted for manslaughter and premeditated murder. He had two broken legs and she let him die to death of his injuries and exposure in her garage. Jesus said that in the last days, there will be such a low esteem for human life that men will kill other men because of that lawlessness will abound. Isn't that where we're living? It's an amazing age. It's an amazing time. General lawlessness. People disobeying laws and rules and enjoying it. Racial divisions. This is tragic. Racial divisions. The word here means when Jesus says in Matthew 24, do you see in verse 7 where it says, for nation will rise against nation? The word in Greek is ethnos versus ethnos. Ethnic groups will fight ethnic groups. It's going to increase. That's sad news, isn't it? But have you noticed that everything is ethnicity now? Everything is ethnic based. We all bleed the same color. You want to do away, and it's not going to happen until Christ comes back, but you want to do away with racial divisions? Preach the gospel. You want to save the nation billions of dollars with all these stupid programs? Preach the gospel and get man's heart changed. That's how it happens. Nobody's black or white or red or yellow when Jesus sits on the throne. We are all one with Christ. There is no color. The more the gospel is believed and embraced and Christ has possession of our hearts and our lives, we don't see people with color anymore. But what do you hear every day? It's a racial issue. It's a racial case. It's a racial situation. Did you hear, anybody see Fox News last night? What's his name? Reggie White? The great all-timer NFL football player. He's a minister now. You know, he's pastoring a work. And they were asking him about Kobe Bryant and that stuff like that. You know what? He just blew that thing right off. He just blew that off. And he said, I'm going to tell you right now, the reason why there's problems in the world is because people are not accepting God's Bible. They're not leaning to Jesus Christ. People need the Lord. And the reporter's like, we'll be right back after this. I mean, the guy's, you know, like 350 pounds. What are you going to say to him? And she said, well, how did you cope with all the women coming onto you as a professional athlete? Like Kobe, you know, and all these pros, they have these women throwing at their feet. He said, well, lady, I'm big and I love Jesus. And that's a great thing. That was broadcast over international news, man. Loving people. He said, it's all about loving people through God. What a great thing. There needs not be racial divisions. There should never be racial divisions in church. It's an anathema to God. In my opinion, it's satanic racism. It's a wedge. If I haven't upset you yet, how about this one? Before we move on to the next one, Jesus Christ is Jewish. How does that sit with you? Are you a white supremacist or a polka dot supremacist or a black supremacist? Chew on that. My boss is a Jewish carpenter. I love it. People say, well, are you Jewish? I'm not Jewish, but the God I worship is. Well, why did he come to earth a Jew? Because the Bible says he came to earth as a Jew because they're the most disgraced, stubborn, belligerent people. He told them in the Old Testament, don't think I picked you because you're so something. Can you imagine as a nation, we know why you picked us. We're so cool. I mean, look at us. God says, don't think I picked you because you think you're so cute. He says, I picked you because you know what? You can't save yourself. You're a mess. That's how God works in our lives. When is God biggest in our lives? When we're in a mess. That's when God's the biggest. You want to know why? We have no control over that. Well, here it is. Hang on to your seats. Put your seatbelt on. An increase in aberrant sexual activity. Aberrant meaning strange flesh. The Bible says that there will be a violation of the natural laws of nature and that men will lust sexually after other men. God says anybody who practices that lifestyle will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's what God says. Why? It is against the law of nature. You know what? Don't raise your hand, but are there any evolutionists in here? You know what? Let me give you a tip. You want to make $1 million? Get your pen out. I'm serious. If you don't, maybe I'll do this. Forget about Christianity. Forget about religion. Aberrant human sexuality on the evolutionary plane, just think evolution alone, destroys the species. Forget God right now. Just forget that God is. If a woman cohabitates with a woman, it breeds death and no propagation of the race. If evolution were true, then every evolutionist would be out there writing against the destruction of the race. Are you with me? Do you understand that? Does anybody get that? It destroys. So a scientist who doesn't even care about God would say, well, look, when you plug A into A, it blows itself up. If you plug A into B, there's life. Anybody can figure that out. The Bible says just before Christ returns, there will be an increase in aberrant human sexuality. And now we have TV programs and we've got all this stuff so that you'll just take it and that you'll just say, well, that's just the way that it is. And just know this. Jesus said, the Bible warned that these days were coming. It's just a sign of his coming. It's going to increase. What did Jesus say? He says, when I come back, it's going to be just like the days of... Yeah, he didn't say Milwaukee and Boston. He said Sodom and Gomorrah. Now listen, if this morning that offends you, you know what? May it do so to the point where you say, well, wait a minute. If that's, yeah, I'm kind of putting together the evolutionary contradiction. That makes a lot of sense. But what about God? You know what? Listen, there is none of us in this room that's a bigger sinner than the other. Okay, maybe that's your sin, but maybe robbing banks is this guy's other sin, or telling a lie is someone else next to you. Listen, to God, sin is sin. And Jesus died on the cross for all of us, every one of us, from our little white lie to our homosexual act or to our murder or to our bank robbery or whatever it might be. Do you understand that? That's what the Bible teaches. God loves to forgive sin, all sin. But Jesus said before the end, there'll be general lawlessness, racial divisions, aberrant sexuality, and here's another one. There'll be a refusal to recognize history. Man will not learn. Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun. That's right, there's nothing new. The more we learn history, if there's any teenagers in here, I know you don't want to learn about history, but I tell you, you want to have a smart future? Learn history. It's how, when we study history, we learn not to make certain mistakes. But you and I live in a culture that's redefining history. Any of you are high schoolers in the LA County School District, open up your books. And I don't know how it is now, but in several years ago, there was a great debate because before the history books were approved, there was more chapter and sentence on Marilyn Monroe than there was on George Washington. Redefining history. How do you redefine history? Listen, parents, listen. You want to redefine history? Teach your child nothing about history. And they'll redefine it. They'll take words and they'll put different meanings onto words. You say, I don't believe it. Oh, yeah? How many people in the world today literally believe? Because in Europe, it's a big problem. Literally believe that there was ever a Holocaust. There are people who literally believe it never happened, that it's propaganda. It's true. Social events. Another thing, listen, we know that Jesus is coming back, indicated by natural events on a grand scale. There's always, natural events, natural disasters. There's always been those. But people, I'm going to give you just a few notes that's really cool. For one thing, in Matthew chapter 24, listen to what Jesus said. He said, nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines. By the way, the famine, the word here indicates in Greek, political famines. People will starve to death because of the ruling and the reigning of a few. Interesting. Pestilence, incurable diseases. Earthquakes in various places. Jesus says these are the beginning of sorrows. He's speaking, no doubt, about the culmination of the tribulation period, yes. But keep this in mind. Of all things, did you know the earth has been experiencing more volcanoes? Yes, most of them are underwater in the oceans. But more volcanoes even above the terrain or above the waters. There have been an increase in volcanoes. You say, well, Pastor, I haven't seen a volcano. I know you haven't. But there's some parts in the world that are dealing with volcanoes right now, and they're increasing. That may not mean anything to you, but it's kind of cool. How about this, closer to home? Jesus says there's going to be earthquakes. The word that he uses implies that there's going to be greater earthquakes with greater intensity. You can go to Caltech online, look at the data that they have right there. There have been more killer earthquakes worldwide in the past 6 years than in the last 200 years. Killer quakes. Jesus says, before I come back, there's going to be killer quakes. What does the science tell us? Jesus meant what he was saying. What about weather? Global warming and the increase of deserts. Did you know that? I didn't realize that. Deserts are growing. The weather's changing. Have you been watching the news regarding Europe's heat wave? It's the worst in history. An estimated 10 to 15,000 people have died throughout Europe because of heat. You put that in comparison to the loss of life at the World Trade Center, it's a drop in the bucket. It doesn't make the front page of the news because it's a natural disaster. But tens of thousands of people were overheated to death and died. Never before recorded in human history. Superstorms. Jesus said in another place that the world will be like that of a tossing sea, raging, foaming up its wrath. Superstorms, the greatest storms in frequency in Category 5 are on the increase, says the Weather Channel online. The large storms are increasing in frequency, and it's up over 500% over the last 10 years. Jesus says there'd be days like this before he comes back. I'm glad I'm a Christian when I read this stuff.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. In his very first of a study series through the Apocalypse, the book of Revelation. Now, since we've just gotten underway with this series in the last book of the Bible, now is a good time for you to visit us at realradioactive.org and begin archiving these broadcasts for your own personal study. www.realradioactive.org. Now, what this also means is that we have just wrapped up a series through the Gospel of John. And if you'd like to catch up on past studies through that book, you can pay us a visit as well, realradioactive.org. And while you're there, look into becoming a podcast subscriber. By the way, all of this is at absolutely no charge. Our interest is simply to get the word out. If you'd like to get in touch by telephone, here's our number, 909-393-7100. 909-393-7100. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is made possible by Calvary Chapel Chino Hills and your financial participation. Remember that no gift is too large or too small. To find out more, you can pay us a visit at realradioactive.org or give us a call at 909-393-7100. Or if you're ready to participate, here's our address. Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, if you missed any of this information, just visit us at realradioactive.org. Till next time, We at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel Chino Hills wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.